Blog Talk Radio.
I'm your host, Merle Exit. It's 7 o'clock p.m. here in New York City, Queens. I'm living in Queens, and we have a heck of a show. It's cold, like it's probably in a lot of this area, the Northeast and across the whole northern coast, and actually cold will be the subject for tonight because it's a winter wonderland in Jackson Hole, Wyoming, where the Teton Mountains are. The dog sledding event is happening. Yep, I think the the old rod there, that rod thing is going to be taking off tomorrow, and it looks like, Snow King Resort is hosting, oh boy, all right, it's not the Nutrisystem food, no. Well, anyway, they're hosting this event, the race, and I think it comes back there. But so we're going to have Snow King Resort calling in, hopefully. I think I might have made a boo-boo on time-wise, but hopefully they'll get to us. Now, then we have, we're going to have Kevin. I forgot his last name. This has been a day. Kevin is the chef from Million Dollar Cowboy Steakhouse. And he's going to tell us about what is cowboy cuisine. I don't know. I understand. Well, we'll talk about it. I know they serve elk and they serve buffalo at this restaurant. I never had elk. Okay, now, then, at Snake River Lodge and Spa, they're at the base of the Teton Mountains, and so they're going to talk about not just their resort, but we're going to chat about the activity at the Teton in Jackson Hole, I guess, park, or not sure what it is. And then, let's see, then we have going to take a sleigh ride.
Let's do that.
Well, who we got on the air?
Who
is that?
Hello?
Hello?
Yeah, who is that?
It's Oliver Page.
Oliver Page?
Yes.
From?
Correct.
From?
New Jersey.
No. Are you just calling to call in?
What?
Are you calling to chat?
Oh, no. I have a question.
Sure, go ahead.
No, stop me. Do you think Barack Obama is going to be a good president?
What?
I just wanted your opinion.
We're talking about travel on the show, but that relates to a good president.
Wait. But I have a question about Barack Obama.
Yeah?
You can't answer it for me?
Sure, I can answer for you.
Can you answer it then, please?
Yeah, I mean, will he... You know, to be quite honest, I don't know until it all happens.
What?
Until it all happens, I don't know. Every president always promises, and it's just like, we'll see. That's my feeling.
Yeah, I don't have anything. I don't think... Hello?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought you hung up on me. I heard silence.
No.
That's right. Wait, this thing's about travel?
Yeah.
Oh. I see. What kind of travel?
Well, we're going to be talking about Jackson Hole, Wyoming today.
Wyoming? Why does someone want to go there?
In Jackson Hole?
Why does someone want to go to Wyoming?
Oh, because you've never been, huh?
No.
Jackson Hole is one of the places that everyone should go to.
Why? What's so good about it?
There is so much activity to do, whether they're in the winter or the summertime.
What is it?
What kind of activity?
No, like, what is it in general, like?
Well, for instance, in the wintertime, like right now, having dog sledding, snowmobiling.
You have to rent the dogs, or can we bring them?
Huh?
Do we have to rent the dogs, or can we bring them?
All right, well, I guess I'm falling into this.
Wait. I have a serious question.
Yeah?
Do we have to bring the dog?
You know what dog sledding is?
I know. I'm saying you have to bring the dog.
Why would you have to bring your dog? I guess you don't know what dog sledding is about.
Dog sledding? You bring your... It's dogs, but I'm saying... Do they... You're not making sense. I'm saying, do they supply the dogs or do you have to bring them?
Have you ever gone dog sledding?
No.
There's a team of dogs, and you sit on a sled.
I know that. I'm asking you, do you have to bring your own dogs? Do you have to bring them?
No, you don't. Not unless you're ready.
Wait, you don't? Hello?
Yes.
You have to bring the dogs.
In the race.
I can't hear. You have to bring the dogs or no?
No.
No. Oh. Wait, oh. Oh, okay. Wait, can you bring dogs now? Hello?
Yeah. I have to go to the show.
Why?
I don't know. Sometimes. I don't know who the guy is. I mean, he calls in and, I thought it was one of the people. I thought it was one of my, my callers who's going to talk about Jackson Hole. You just never know. Well, that was interesting. Some guy named Oliver Page and, I don't know. Anyway, so to get back to this, to our lineup, so weird. So we are going to take a sleigh ride, hopefully. Well, we won't. I won't. But if you had an opportunity to take a sleigh ride to view the elk, you can do that at the Double H Bar. Then we got the, I'm on Nutrisystem to lose weight. Yeah. Well, not to gain weight. And so we're gonna follow me week to week on how this works. Well, I just started, kind of. But we got one of the losers, so to speak, Lynn Schulson, and she's going to share her tale about her weight loss. And then Andrew Douglas, the owner of the New York Sharks, will talk about some upcoming events with both the Sharks and the IWFL. And Jack Reed, the manager of the international programs from USA Football, is going to join in to talk about partnering with the IWFL. Because I screwed up on time, I'm waiting for the callers. In the meantime, I'm going to play. This is one of the songs. I got a hold of a guy. His name is Michael Hurwitz that sings cowboy songs. And here we are with one of them, one called Badger Dad.
Just a cowboy song, it ain't right or wrong. Well, come on in, forget your cares, you know it won't take long. Just a cowboy song, put on cowboy shoes, leave them city blues. The music's hot and the beer is cold, there's nothing you can lose. Put on your cowboy shoes, sing a prairie tune out moon. Now let's get wild and bully, crazy as a loon. Do the badger dance, this high plains romance. Take my hand and hold on tight, gonna take a chance. Do the badger dance. They got a jumping band, tearing up the stand. Fiddle, steel, and an old guitar, they're the best in all the land. They got a jumping band, we're drinking cactus juice, we're getting good and loose. Wave your arms, kick your feet, shake that old caboose, drinking cactus juice. Chance and do the badger dance. Just a cowboy song, it ain't right or wrong. Well, come on in, forget your cares, you know it won't take long. Just a cowboy song, it ain't right or wrong. Just a cowboy song.
Yeah, that was Michael
Hurwitz.
I feel you might as well do a little cowboy. Sorry. Sponsor time. This is one of the things I'm not allowed to have. Oh.
What would you do to earn brownie points? How about treating someone to what may be the best brownies they've ever tasted? Fairy Tale Brownies. They may seem like one of the richest bars of fudge, with varieties that include caramel, chocolate chip, espresso nib, raspberry swirl, mint chocolate, all made with cowboy dark Belgian chocolate. But yes, they are brownies, and that's no fairy tale.
Yes. Valentine's Day's coming up. And I understand if you go to brownies.com, they're having a sale. And that's probably where you can get the ones that are enrobed with chocolate as well. Oh, yeah, chocolate. Well, I mean, there is chocolate stuff on Nutrisystem, but, you know, well, I'll deal with it. I really need to lose the weight, and I guess that's more important. Who knows? Maybe I'll play for the Sharks. No. Too old. Yeah. Really. I have a... Let me see if I have... I had another song here. Ah, no, I'll save it for... No, let me get this. This is another one, because we got to get us in the mood here. This is also... Michael sent me this one called Old Green Truck.
Now she turned 35 years old, said she had to go. She got everything we had, I got her old clothes. She took the pictures from the wall and the rug from off the floor. Hummed a happy little melody as she danced on out the door. Loaded up my old dog Sparky in her silver SUV. My saddles, gun, and guitar, and all the good CDs. Thought she had it all, but there's one thing she missed. She walked right by my old green truck and she blew me back a kiss. And I love that truck. We've got a history. She's built in 53. Damn near old as me. She's always been right there through thick and thin. Sometimes my only friend is that old green truck. Some banker guy stopped by today, said I'd have to leave my home. Well, I know you've made the payment, sir, but her name's on the loan. He said I'd help you if I could, as he definitely passed the buck. You can have the house, man, here's the keys, but don't you touch that truck. I love that truck. We've had a time or two. She always got me through when I was feeling blue. When the going was tough and the road was long and rough, too much just weren't enough for that old green truck. Went out and sat behind the wheel, run my hands across the dash. Well, I bought her back in 65 from some old cowhand low on cash. And in the 70s, she hauled me back and forth from rodeo to rodeo, where I met my future former wife, the lovely Miss Idaho. There was a school bus full of kids that was stranded on the ridge. A storm had closed the road up tight, and a flood washed out the bridge. But old Green, she started right up, though it was 42 below, and saved them little kids from dying up there in the freezing ice and snow. I love that truck. We've had a damn good run. There's battles lost and won, but I wouldn't change it none. She'd never fail through wind or sleet or hail. Eyes there just like the mail in that old green truck. I'm here to tell the tale that old green truck.
Yeehaw! I should have told that that guy that called in to go truck himself, huh? By the way, I think that feedback was just in case. The feedback was coming, I'm sure, because he must have had his phone on speakerphone. I wish people wouldn't do that. But anyhow, so I, what I wanted to say, still waiting here. As it turns out, when I was in Jackson Hole, I dealt with two of my traumas, which didn't make a difference. One is my fear of height, which happened to occur at Snow King Resort. That was riding on a chairlift. Now, going up isn't so bad. Going down, I was absolutely, totally freaked out, especially when, oh, not even halfway, it did the old stop-a-rooney. And I'm with one of my friends, and she could care less. She's done whatever, the mountain climbing and stuff years ago, so I don't think heights bother her. And here I am, freaking out, and she's trying to talk to me. And now I realize that every time she's talking, that it's shaking the chair. And of course, I don't want the chair to shake for fear that it'll, you know, fall off, you know. So I'm saying to her, don't say it, don't talk. Now, of course, she's finding this hilarious, and she starts laughing, and I'm going, Joanna, don't laugh. How I dealt with this was, I just kind of, in my head, I looked at the out on the horizon, and I thought, well, this is not a permanent thing, hopefully. This will end. There will be a point, this will end, and we'll get down. Okay. The second thing occurred, swimming. I'm afraid of the water. And I get talked into going white water rafting along the Snake River. Yes, white water rafting. Okay, so here I am, and I'm doing everything to get myself hang in there. And of course, I'm sitting on the side, doing the paddling and obeying whatever. And they do something on purpose. They call it the kahuna or something, the big kahuna. And there's a guy that sits on a ledge, and he takes like five shots. As they purposely have this go into something that'll almost flip the boat, the raft. And yes, the boat flips it up, flips it almost like crunches up into a sandwich. But me, I go flying in the air. And fortunately, I land inside the raft. Yes, I have photos of this. That includes one of dear Joanna laughing when this happened. But I just ain't going to do it again. I'll just say I, you know, been there and done that. That's all. So, well, I don't know what's happening here. I hope everybody calls in. But in the meantime, all right, that's enough with the cowboy music. Let's get the, I like this one. Yeah, how about, this is the question that I have right now.
Hey, what's up, man?
Brother, oh, what's up?
This is a big party, man.
Yeah,
I can dig it.
Solid. Right on.
Hey, man, what's your name?
good time. Don't punish me with brutality. Talk to me so you can see.
Calling from Snow King Resort in Jackson Hole, Wyoming.
Hi, how you doing?
I'm good. How are you doing today?
Oh, just fine.
Good.
So, tell us about this event that's going on, that's starting tomorrow, I guess, the kicking off.
Yep, they're actually starting off the kickoff tonight, and it is the International Pedigree Stage Shop Sled Dog Race. It's actually the largest sled dog race in the lower 48, so we're very proud to have it in Jackson Hole. It's the fifth year for the Winter Carnival, which is tied into the event, and then the 14th year for the race. So tonight they kick off the festivities at the National Museum of Wildlife Arts, which is a beautiful rock sculpture building. It overlooks the National Elk Refuge. During the winter, we have about 15,000 head of elk that winter in the refuge. So guests can actually tour the museum and take a sleigh ride out onto the refuge if you're bundled up enough.
Wow.
So it's a spectacular venue with live entertainment, gourmet chili cook-off, just a real fun event. And then tomorrow, the events continue. They have a great event on the historic town square that includes live entertainment. There's a pig roast. And then the race actually starts on the town square at 6:30, and the mushers head to Snow King Resort, where they end up at the base of the mountain with a torchlight parade and fireworks at Snow King Resort. So,
cool.
It's just a great weekend. It's our second largest winter event in Jackson Hole, and it's just a really special weekend.
This sounds fabulous. I mean, it gives you something to do while you're freezing.
Absolutely, absolutely. And there's plenty of cocktails to go around, and we definitely do our best to keep people warm. So,
now when you're in Jackson Hole, can you go dog sledding there?
Yes, you can. You can actually go up to Togedy, and they have a beautiful dog sledding terrain up there. And most people that have come to Jackson Hole have said it's one of the most unique activities they've ever experienced. Even people that, you know, typically wouldn't hop on the back of a sled with a bunch of dogs pulling you across the snow. So
that's so great.
It is. It's really fun, and that's the special part about Jackson. A lot of people associate it with skiing, and there's so much more to do here besides ski.
Yeah, that's basically what I'm going to be chatting about here, because I refuse to pay somebody to fall down their mountain.
Exactly. You just come out, Merle. We'll get you taken care of. And you'll have to fit in some dog sledding while you're here.
Oh, that's one thing. That's one thing that I want to do. I want to both like sit in the sled and also do the mushing.
Yeah, exactly. And they definitely let you do both, which is really neat. I've heard there's some tight turns, but as long as you hang on, you're good to go.
Oh, okay. Oh, that's good to know. Now, Snow King Resort, where's it, like, if you want to give a location in terms of where the Teton Mountains are?
Absolutely. We are located about 15 minutes from the south entrance to Grand Teton National Park, and you have to enter Grand Teton National Park to access Yellowstone. So it's one of the most gorgeous drives you'll ever experience, and it really starts when you step off the plane. We have the only airport located in a national park, and so you land and you've got the Tetons just right there, which is pretty spectacular. Snow King Resort is located 6 blocks off of the historic town square, so it's an easy walk, or if in the winter it's too chilly, we have complimentary shuttle service. It's the original ski resort in Wyoming, so it has a lot of history and charm. It's a really unique place. It's really known as the Town Hill, so we do a lot of work a lot with the community, especially on events like these.
That's cool.
Yeah, it really is.
Now, what amenities do you have at the resort?
We actually offer a lot of amenities. Pretty unique from the rest of the resorts in Jackson Hole because we do have our own mountain. So in addition to being a full-service resort with all of the amenities you'd expect, we have a full, ski hill. We offer, obviously, skiing and riding lessons. We have, a snow tubing park, which is really fun. And night skiing. We're the only resort in Wyoming that offers night skiing. So it's pretty pretty unbelievable experience to be out there under the moonlight skiing down.
So do you mean that, in other words, if you go to the area of the base of the Tetons, they don't have night skiing?
They do not. And all of the skiing in the Tetons, the Tetons where you kind of tour through is kind of backcountry access. You've got the primary resort, which is Jackson Hole Mountain Resort, and then Snow King, like I said, which is the smaller kind of local in-town hill.
Right.
Oh. So it's a really convenient location and has just a lot to offer, both in the winter and the summer.
And what goes on there? What do you got for me in the summer?
Oh, my gosh, Merle, how much time do you have? We've got the National Park.
Oh, I mean, Snow King.
Oh, just at Snow King, we have the Scenic Chairlift. We have the steepest vertical drop, so it's actually it's a beautiful ride and one of the most amazing views in the valley. We have miniature golf, and then we are the only resort that has an alpine slide, which is also very popular, and then, of course, horseback riding.
Oh, great.
Yeah. So
what about the amenities of like inside? What you got for me?
You know, what is really nice about Snow King is we kind of have something for everybody in terms of accommodations. We have hotel rooms, and then we also have beautiful condominiums ranging in size from 1 to 3 bedrooms with balconies, the views of the Grand Tetons. We're opening a new property, actually, in December of 2009, which is Grandview Lodge and Spa. It will have a beautiful spa, gorgeous restaurant, and a huge amount of function space with a lot of outdoor venues, which can sometimes be hard to come by here, with these great views of the Tetons, which are just striking.
So you're going to have a spa to add on to the
yes.
wintery stuff, huh?
Yep, we are, and it's going to be one of the premier spots in the valley.
Do you usually host? Oh, what about the restaurants? You have a restaurant there?
We do. We have the Atrium Restaurant, which is gorgeous. The nice thing about Snow King is we basically own the mountain and all of the land around it, so you don't have any construction. You're not staring at construction outside of your window. So we have a fabulous restaurant, the Atrium. It's floor-to-ceiling windows, and then a really cozy little lounge with a fireplace that's popular for après-ski and also in summer as well.
Oh, good. Well, and like, do you usually, like, with Snow King Resort, like, host, do you usually do this every year? Like, with, this, with the dog sledding or the winter carnival?
We do. Just, again, because we are so convenient to town, it's just a perfect location and a perfect distance for the dogs. So once the dogs get to Snow King, they put them away, and we have our torchlight parade and the fireworks, and it's definitely a tradition. It's our largest, second to the largest event in Jackson Hole in the winter.
That sounds great. Well,
it is.
I'm keeping warm here in my house at the moment. But when I come out there again, I think I may come out maybe in September.
Oh, absolutely. That's a great time to come. You know, July and August is kind of the height of the peak season, but all of the same activities are available in the summer. So it's in September, so it's a really great time to come.
That's fabulous. We got somebody else. Who else do I have on the air right now?
This is Kent Elliott from the Snake River Lodge and Spa.
Oh,
hi there, Kent.
Hi, Aaron. How are you?
I'm good. How are you doing?
Great.
Good. It's a small town, Merle.
I know. Well, I mean, we're not talking about competition. I mean, because Snake River Lodge and Spa is in a different area.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So, Aaron, if you want to hang, you can hang, because we're going to, so we can chat with you're not your opponent, but, you know, your friend there.
He's my friend, yep.
Yeah.
Every property in Jackson Hole is different.
Aaron and I have known each other for a long time.
Yeah. Because, Kent, what I want to chat about is about the Teton Mountains and what kind of activities can somebody expect in that area.
Oh, well, you know, there's just so much
to
offer here.
Let's get the winter.
Well, you know, I'll tell you what. In the wintertime, one of the more popular things that is coming up is snowshoeing. With the new technology of snowshoes, it makes it a lot easier to go snowshoeing. So snowshoeing in Grand Teton National Park is a great winter activity for people to get out there. And there are hikes that are... people that will guide you and talk about the different geology of the area itself, so it becomes more of an educational trip.
You think people like, and just in general, because of all the snow, will people snowshoe like walking around town?
I'm sorry, I didn't hear you.
Will people snowshoe just walking around town?
Well, no, there's not a lot of snowshoeing walking right around town. Most of the people are snowshoeing up out and about, whether it's in the fields or the pathways or up in the Grand Teton National Park or in the National Forest as well. So it's a great winter activity. It's one of many, but that's a great one to go out and see the National Park itself. Of course, you know, there's the downhill skiing and snowboarding at the Jackson Hole Mountain Resort area, phenomenal place, and you know, for all people to enjoy.
Wait, now the Teton Mountains, they're noted for because the height of the mountains or something.
Well, the Teton Range is, you know, one of the younger ranges in the Rocky Mountain Range, and of course the Rocky Mountain Range stretched from, you know, New Mexico all the way up into Canada. And so this is part of the Rocky Mountain Range. And the Tetons, the Grand Tetons, are some of the youngest mountains. And it's the way that they were formed with the tectonic plates, how they butted up and created this mountain range, is just an absolute beauty.
Now, I seem to remember that in terms of the height above sea level, is they the tallest or something?
Well, the valley floor is a little over 6,000 feet, and the Tetons, the Grand Teton itself, reaches somewhere in the range of 13,700 feet, give or take a few feet there. But it is, that's the height of it.
That's the height. Now,
yep.
As compared to, I was in... I was in Colorado. I went to the I was in Denver, and then I went north, and I experienced that wonderful, the wonderful height. And I was kind of wondering if, do you think it's like higher? I mean, how a mile? What's a mile in terms of feet?
Well, a mile is what, 5,200 feet?
Oh, so, okay. So in other words, it's probably close to that of what I experienced.
Yep, that's about right.
Yeah, because I did, I had taken the tram, and I had gone up to the top.
The tram itself goes up to the top of what they call Rendezvous Mountain.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, and I'm not the expert on all this stuff, but...
Why not?
Well, you know, I'm a hotel guy. But, you know, I have lived in this area for 18 years, and it is home for me. And, you know, the beauty of it is just unbelievable. And the one thing that I really love is sharing what's in my backyard with other people from around the country and around the world.
Well, I understand. I mean, I know that, like, skiing is the real, is, of course, the big thing over at the Tetons. But if you don't, well, like me, if you don't care to ski, what's there to do right there? And that, I guess I call it that, like, you're in, like, a village, right?
Right, out at Teton Village.
Yeah.
Well, you know, there's an ice skating pond there. There's cross-country skiing. You can cross-country ski and do some skate skiing around that area. There's shopping. There's some great restaurants. You know, there's just the area just to walk around is just absolutely beautiful and breathtaking and a good exercise. So if there's enough there to keep you busy. There's some wonderful spas out at the Teton Village. The spa that is at the hotel where I am is the Avanu Spa, and that's located at the Snake River Lodge and Spa. It's a rock resort located right at the base of the Jacksonville Mountain Resort ski area. And a beautiful spa, so a lot of people love to enjoy relaxing and taking in a full-day spa.
Yeah, are any of your places accessible for snowmobiling?
You know, there really isn't snowmobiling per se in Teton Village itself. The snowmobiling is really designated onto different trail systems throughout the valley in the Bridger-Teton National Forest. You can also do snowmobile tours up into Yellowstone National Park, which is just the south entrance is just about 60 miles north of Jackson. So, most of those outfitters are just right about 20 minutes or so from the town of Jackson, and so within 20 minutes from your hotel, you can be on a snowmobiling and being out in the millions of acres of forest here.
That's great. Now
it's just unbelievable. There's a lot of great tours out there, and you can see some great wildlife. And you know, I was watching the Travel Channel the other day, and they had Grand Teton National Park as the number one national park in the country for wildlife viewing, and Yellowstone was number three. And so,
really,
you know, viewing, yep, and the viewing of the animals and the wildlife in this area is just something that one shouldn't really miss.
Wow.
Yeah.
I actually that was the first place I ever did snowmobiling.
You know, snowmobiling's a lot of fun, and, you know, like I said, there's a lot of great places to do it, but a lot of great outfitters that will take care of, folks coming in to do that. I always recommend taking a guide, because sometimes you just don't know where you might end up, and you want to be with somebody experienced with the area, because the mountains can be deceiving.
Well, I have to say, one of the things that I found with the snowmobiling, which I... for some reason or other, I guess I expected it to be like the same thing every place I went. By going into Yellowstone Park, it was pretty much like straightaway, as opposed to that you're in the woods or something. So the trail was, you know, I didn't really have to turn the snowmobile much.
Well. You know, the trails up in Yellowstone pretty much follow the roads up there.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's a lot of controversy on the use of snowmobiles in Yellowstone. And I think both sides have been working well together to protect what Yellowstone is. And, you know, so it's important that they stay on roads up there so they're not going through and running over other parts of the forest growing. So it's not a trip where you have to be real experienced to drive a snowmobile, but you certainly will see some great wildlife up in Yellowstone, and you'll see the Old Faithful geyser. Absolutely beautiful.
Yeah, well, of course, actually, that was one of the things that happened was that I thought it was going to be the same type of thing if I did snowmobiling like another time.
Right.
And suddenly I was faced with having to constantly turn the handles or whatever you want to call it of the snowmobile. And it's a whole different thing because you're dealing it. It's like you probably if you rode a motorcycle, you'd probably get a better feel.
Absolutely. Bottom line, it takes practice
and
it takes a whole new set of muscles to handle a snowmobile and to turn it and to be active on it in the mountains versus going on some of the trails. But you know, the trail is a great way to get on a machine and to get out there and see what's in the mountains in the wintertime. So it's a phenomenal activity to do.
Great. And now, as far as Snake River Lodge and Spa, you have a website?
We sure do. It's simply Snake River Lodge and Spa, snakeriverlodge.com, or you can go to rockresorts.com. And Rock Resorts, you go there, and then that way you would see all of our properties and all the unique properties that we have under our portfolio.
Oh, okay, so you have a whole bunch of them.
Absolutely.
Are any of them timeshares?
There are different units in the different properties that sell. I'm not quite sure if they're all timeshares. I know that we have units in our facility that are privately owned, and then we manage it for them, but not timeshare per se.
Okay. Well, I thank you very much for telling us about Snake River Resort and about the area. I just want to say who's called in right now? Who we got?
This is Jeff of the National Refuge Sleigh Rides.
Okay. Wow.
Okay. Well, hey, I'm gonna go.
Yeah.
You guys have a great conversation. The sleigh ride out at the Elk Refuge is one not to miss there. So you guys enjoy this conversation.
Okay,
later.
Great.
Thank you.
Okay, talk to you soon. All right, wait, I have to pause a second for a most appropriate song.
Just hear those sleigh bells jingling, ring, ting, tingling too. Come on, it's lovely weather for a sleigh ride together with you. Outside the snow is falling and friends are calling you. Come on, it's lovely weather for a sleigh ride together with you. Giddy up, giddy up, giddy up, let's go, let's look at the show. We're riding in a wonderland of snow. Giddy up, giddy up, giddy up, it's grand, just holding your hand. We're gliding along with the song of a wintry fairyland. Our cheeks are nice and rosy and comfy, cozy are we. We've snuggled close together like two birds of a feather with wings.
All right, we got the picture. In case anybody didn't know, it's Johnny Mathis.
Yeah, that's...
Yeah.
It's a nice song, especially this time of year here.
Oh, yeah. So Jeff, tell us about this whole thing that you have with the sleigh ride and all that you do.
Well, the National Elk Refuge is here in Jackson, Wyoming. It's a refuge that helps the elk get through the wintertime. Then when they come down out of the mountains, when the snow's deep up there, this year there's over 6,500 elk out on the refuge, and the way to see them, the only way to see them, you can't walk out amongst them, is to get on a sleigh and ride out to see them.
How close do you get to them?
Well, it depends. The other day we had an elk approach a sleigh that was, he was within 4 or 5 feet. Most of the time it's more like 15 to 20 feet, but it just depends on the elk a lot of times. We do everything we can so we don't disturb the elk. So, you know, our goal is to get you out there to see them, but not to bother them.
Right. But they're coming up that close. They're friendly enough to not, like, go after the sleigh, right?
No, they're not going to go after the sleigh. They don't see the sleigh as a threat at all. The sleighs have been out there amongst the elk since 1912. Of course, most of these elk have not been there that long, right? None of them have been there that long, but they do perceive the sleigh as no threat at all. Horse-drawn, it's quiet. You know, the noise from the people, they don't even respond to.
Oh, that's cool.
It is something to see.
So is that the only thing? It's a refuge, right?
Yes, ma'am.
Now, what makes it a refuge and why?
Okay, there are 550 refuges in the United States, and they are federally owned ground. That's through the Department of Interior, and they pick these refuges in areas that are high priority for certain animals, you know, not just elk. I mean, there's some for most every animal you want to look for. There's some for plants. There's you name it out of that 550. And so in 1912, what happened prior to that, there were a bunch of people that came to Jackson to live and didn't realize that where they were moving into was the winter range for these elk. And so when the elk started dying, they tried to take care of them, and they couldn't do it by themselves, so they got the federal government involved in 1912 when they opened the refuge and made it a place for elk to come in winter, so they couldn't be disturbed in these areas separate from where the people were living.
Now, elk is like deer, right?
Well, they're bigger than deer, but smaller than moose. How's that?
So, in other words, and you got bison in that area too, huh?
Yeah, there's also, this year there's about 600 bison on the refuge as well. Yeah. So,
wow.
And there's also bighorn sheep, there's coyotes, there's wolves, there's eagles and trumpeter swans and ducks. So there's all kinds of animals on the refuge besides elk. But the idea there is this is the range that elk would choose, and now it's protected to where it can't have development on it. It'll be there every year for these elk to come back to.
So on the particular refuge, in other words, when you're sleigh riding, are you going to see other animals?
Oh, yeah. Yep. Now, we don't usually see bison. They stay to the north of where we are. You know, they're a little more, shall we say, aggressive. You'd worry about them doing something they shouldn't around the horses or the sleighs. And the refuge kind of keeps them north of where we are by how they run the feeding program. They do feed the elk and the bison there on the refuge. But, you know, other than that, I mean, coyotes will come right up close to the sleighs. One of the things they do in the wintertime when it's heavy is they follow along behind the sleighs because we break it through the crust and the mice run through the sleigh tracks, and they'll grab the mice that they see in those sleigh tracks, and they don't have to dig for them.
Well, that I never know.
Yeah. So you see a lot of animals. It's real, real common to see bald eagles, and folks like to see them, and, you know, they'll perch in a tree, or there are a couple big, tall poles out there. They'll perch on them, and, you know, we can get right underneath them. Folks can get pictures of them, and pretty majestic birds, you know. In fact, we've seen them swoop down out of the one tree and pull fish right out of the stream right there with the sleigh sitting 20 feet away from the stream. So, of course, that doesn't happen on every ride, but it was amazing to see when it did happen.
Wow. Do you have footage of some of the things? Like if I was out there and came over your place, do you have, like, some footage of things for people to watch before or after the sleigh ride?
Well, what folks do if they want to go on the sleigh ride is they come to the visitor center in Jackson Hole.
Uh-huh.
On the north end of town, just as you're leaving town. It's actually got a sod roof on it, a very distinctive building. and the Elk Refuge employees themselves have some presentations they can give with things about the refuge. There's a informational tape that just runs for people to watch. And then, you know, you buy your ticket there for the sleigh ride, and you can stay and participate in some of these things. Tell the sleigh, your sleigh's ready to go. Usually the wait's no longer than 20 or 30 minutes for most sleigh riders. And then we take you out in the sleighs, and then there are people in the visitor center to come back and answer questions or, you know, give these presentations, those kinds of things that people are interested in when they get back. So, you know, there's a lot there to do. Now, we're just the contractors that take the sleigh ride, so we don't do all the presentations afterwards. But the refuge has a lot of information there that they can share with people and do share with people on a daily basis.
Now, what happens during the warmer season?
Well, the elk are only there for late fall into April, thereabouts. Depends on the year. Last year they stayed into May because the snow didn't leave out of the mountains. There was a lot of snow last year. But so that's when the sleigh rides run, is about the second week in December through maybe a little bit into April. Just depends on the habits of the elk. And then after that, we do something else, and the elk go back into the mountains. Some of them go to Yellowstone National Park, some of them to Grand Teton National Park, and some of them out into the National Forest there.
So what activity, do you have some activity that goes on during the warmer weather?
Yes, ma'am. We do a nightly, what we call a dinner ride, where folks come to our base there in Jackson, and they'll get on horse-drawn wagons, and we'll take them 2 miles up pretty canyon into the forest, and you know Indians have been known to attack, and a mountain man will come and run them off, and then we feed them and entertain them, and that most Indians and that mountain man have a tendency to come back every night for a little bit more once they're in camp, and then we sing and entertain folks with some western music, and then haul them all back to Jackson, and then we also do a 4-day, 3-night wagon train trip up into
really?
The mountains here north of Jackson. Yes, ma'am. So, the same horses that work the refuge have a year-round job. So they'll pull on that dinner ride, and then we do, during the 4-day wagon train trip, we move camp every day, and we run that Monday through Thursday. So they work 4 days, and then they get a few days off to work 4 days again.
All right. Well, let me ask you about this, these 4 days of really like, okay. What? So you're basically... you're sleeping in the yes.
Yeah, we've got tents with mattresses for folks. So you're sleeping on a mattress in a tent up on Targhee National Forest, right south of Yellowstone Park, in some very pretty country, but very back country as well.
Okay, so you're not sleeping in the wagon.
You can. We don't have enough wagons for everybody to sleep in. But, you know, folks that are interested in sleeping in the wagon, we can set that up as well, either way.
So now, and I guess I'm going to ask, where do people, like, shower, et cetera, et cetera?
Okay. Well, we have two mountain lakes we camp by, and so there's canoeing. We have canoes and canoe on those while we're in those camps. And then, you know, we don't have enough water to shower, but folks can take... wash basins back to their tent and clean up if they need to. But most folks, to tell you the truth, when they're up there, we all smell the same, and everybody washes their hands and their face and puts on a little bit of cologne and a little bit of deodorant and calls it good.
Okay.
Once you all smell the same, it don't matter no more. And there,
yeah.
You know, you mostly smell like campfire and horses, and that's not bad.
What about the grub?
Hey, it's Dutch oven food. There ain't none better. We have cooks with us that take care of that, and they cook over an open fire. And you know, we have things like bacon and hash browns and eggs and French toast and biscuits and gravy for breakfast. And then lunches, we do tacos and sloppy joes, and suppers are ham and roast beef and barbecued chicken and beef stew, and we eat well up there. If you could see me, you'd be able to tell that. I don't starve to death, I promise you.
Do you make either bison or elk?
No, we don't. Let me see. No, we don't. We used to do a bison stew, but I guess we got away from that a little bit. So, no, we don't eat any of the wild game, but it's good stuff either way, any way you look at it.
And do we all get at least to have our vegetables, huh?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. There's salad and always some sort of vegetable with the meal, and then I haven't told you about the snacks, you know. I mean, we have lots of stuff to snack on between. There's a lot of kids on the trip, so they're growing kids, so they need snacks in between once we get to camp, that kind of thing, lots of fruit. And, yeah, so, no, it's good eating. There's no problem with that all. And then we, for dessert, after a hard day in the saddle or canoe or whatever you choose to do for your day's activities, we have peach cobbler done in the Dutch oven or cherry chocolate chip cake, and one night we do s'mores. Of course, how can you avoid s'mores when you've got a campfire?
Okay, right.
Yeah, so.
Yeah. Well, what's your website?
The website for all three things, you can pick them all three up there, are BARTT5.com. So it looks like Bart and the numeral 5.
Okay, cool. That's so great. Hopefully I'll see you when I get on my press trip out there.
All right, I hope so.
Yeah, I don't think I'll do the 4-day thing, but.
Well, you ought to come in the winter so you can see the elk, because that is an amazing experience. And then, sure enough, come in the summer where you can see the summer activities too, because there's nothing wrong with that.
Okay. Well, thanks a whole bunch for calling in and telling us all about this. Hopefully I'll see you.
Okay.
And have a great evening.
Okay, and you too.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Oh, well, obviously I'm not going to be having their desserts. Can you imagine if I had that dessert on Nutrisystem? Yeah. How are you doing, Lynn?
I'm fine. How are you, Merle?
Oh, great.
How'd you know I was there?
Oh, because I got you on, I have a switchboard.
Oh, goodness.
On my computer, I see a switchboard. And I see the phone numbers, so I know that people are calling in.
Well, peach cobbler does sound really good, though.
Yeah, well.
They'll still be making peach cobbler when I'm done dieting.
Yeah, okay. Well, let's first go into, I officially, just so you, I was doing, just to give you a little background of what I've been doing with this, I got some of the Nutrisystem food to try, and then you saw New Kitchen there, right, at the event?
I don't know. I met a lot of people.
Well, there's a company. It's called New Kitchen, and they deliver the fresh meals. It's like Zone Chef and things like that. And it seems that they're sort of partnering with Nutrisystem. So they were there, and I wanted to get a sense of the difference between, the difference between the Nutrisystem packaged food, the Nutrisystem frozen food, and New Kitchen fresh food.
Well, New Kitchen I haven't tried, but I've been on Nutrisystem for, I guess, almost 2 years now.
Really?
Yeah. I lost most of my weight, you know, actually, yeah, everything that I've lost so far in the first year and a half. And I'm down to my last 16 pounds that I'd like to get rid of.
Wow. All right, tell me, what made you choose Nutrisystem?
Oh, gosh, I tried so many different diets. I went to a hospital bariatric program. I tried Weight Watchers. I tried... You know, I tried every diet, I including going to a dietitian who created meal plans just for me, but it was so much work to gather all the food and make all the meals and do all the shopping for all of that. And I tried this because my mom kept giving me coupons. My mom kept sending me coupons and saying, you know, pick one. Pick any one you want, anything that looks good to you. There are coupons, you know. And Nutrisystem was, you know, the coupon I chose to use. And What I think is great about the plan is when I'm left to my own devices, I make bad choices. And on Nutrisystem, they've pretty much given me a number of choices I could make that are all good. And that works for me. You know, and I'm not hungry. If I was hungry, I wouldn't be able to stay on it.
Yeah, do you, I mean, I'm just curious, have you tried any other of the diets that with the food kind of thing? In other words, like, I think Jenny Craig provides food, and there was, you know, there's some others where you get food.
No, for me, the first time was the charm.
Oh, okay. Because I'm curious, I mean, like, I was trying to, I'm curious as to, like, how the food compares. Not that I'm going to try Jenny Craig, but I thought just in case you did, I was kind of curious.
No, I mean, I'm just sticking with what worked for me. I mean, I lost 124 pounds.
Wow. That's great. What if, okay. I also started the exercise. Do you have the, did you get the DVD?
No, I actually was in a car accident a number of years ago, had two spinal surgeries, and right now I have two herniated discs in my neck. So exercise is, I've got to be pretty careful.
The tape that they got, because they have a men's program and a women's program. And by the way, I was kind of, I just wanted to mention that the men's program is only different with what you can eat versus the portions. In other words, it's the same food, but it's just that with the men's program, they're having you have an extra carbohydrate and an extra dessert. So it's not that kind of a thing. But and also, it comes with they each have a DVD, and it's, and I don't know about with the men's program. But with the women's program, it's a walking. So the exercise you're getting is, I guess, power walking.
See, now, they never sent me a DVD, and I had been getting auto delivery for a long time. I wonder if they have different programs, for different types of, types of weight loss. I have no idea.
Well, although what it might be is they might have put out the DVD
after I started.
After, yeah. Well, I'll talk to them.
You know, I mean, if I'm supposed to have a DVD, I want a DVD.
Yeah.
but I actually started taking Latin dance twice a week.
Oh, okay.
You know, I figured it's a social thing, and I'm looking for a man. You know, I'm hoping to do something social and meet somebody nice.
Oh, okay.
Now, now that they actually look at me in a different way, it's kind of nice.
Oh, really?
I'm still intimidating, though. I keep hearing I'm intimidating.
So now, while you were losing the weight, did you do? So you didn't do any exercise?
Well,
or
as the weight came off, I started out at over 300 pounds. So as the weight came off, I was more able to do things, and I was running around like a crazy woman where I didn't have energy before. I was a sweating, panting mess. After just walking one flight of steps, I'd have to stop and rest. I mean, so, it was very hard for me to do anything. Now, I can shop for 12 hours, and I'm shopping for distance. You know, I can keep going for a lot longer than I used to be able to. So I'm a lot more active in general.
So that helps, I guess.
Oh, yeah. The only negative I see is I get colder faster. I think I lost my insulation.
I don't think I have noticed I get colder. I get cold whether I'm before I gain the weight and while I have the weight. I want to get to some of the things about the food because I'm these are the concerns I was looking at. And I'm kind of curious as to how you looked at the things. The first concern was that I need a magnifying glass to read the ingredients.
Oh my goodness! I got new glasses. I can read stuff off a fly's butt a mile away.
Oh, okay.
But what concerned me was I actually didn't open the box when I got my first order for almost 2 weeks.
Really?
I was afraid to open the box. I didn't want to fail. I was afraid. And the box sat in the hallway closed, you know, and every time I came in or out of my apartment, I had to look at it. And it made me feel, after a while, it made me feel like I failed just because I didn't open it. You know, and then when I opened it, I called Nutrisystem right away and I said, all right, now how many of these little packages is meal? And, you know, and the girl said, one. I said, you're kidding me. In what alternate reality do you live? And she said, no, 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 you add food. You add perishable food to these items. And it's filling. Trust me. Try it. And if you're not full, call me back. And I tried it, and I was full. I couldn't believe it. I mean, she told me what I could eat if I got hungry. She gave me a list of free foods. I mean, I always had something in my bag that I could eat no matter what. You know, the first 2 months in, I went on a 5-day cruise, and I really thought I was going to completely screw up my plan. I lost 4 pounds on a 5-day cruise following the weekends off plan that they gave me over the phone.
Wow.
And I was not deprived. I mean, I was on a Disney cruise. Do you know how much kid food there is on that?
Oh, God.
And I was perfectly fine. I always had something I could eat in my bag when we went off the ship, when we went into town. You know, no matter what we were doing, there was always something around the buffet that I could have. And it was amazing. I was able to stay on it, and I was constantly eating.
What did you find of things that are most tempting to you?
If there was a way for a pizza with shrimp tempura on it to be calorie-free, you know, then I would be in my glory. But, I mean, just the salt on pizza is enough to make me gain weight looking at it. So I stay away from that. But I have found ways to make things that remind me of pizza. I take, you know, the Nutrisystem chicken patty?
Yeah.
I actually dice that up. And you're allowed to have that with a multigrain roll. So I take a multigrain wrap, and I put it in the toaster oven with the diced chicken, a couple of tablespoons of, you know, low-calorie salsa, and a slice of diet cheese crumbled on top, and I make a pizza.
That's good.
And I'm still well within the plan. You know, if you're a little creative, you can definitely make it different for yourself so you're not eating the same things all the time if you've got to be on the plan a long time.
Right.
You know, you get a fat serving. So if I have 4 pecans as a fat serving, I could crumble those into my dessert, which could be that little chocolate cake.
Ah.
You know, and then you've got pecans, chocolate cake, and, you know, a little fat-free, sugar-free Cool Whip, and you've got dessert.
So is desserts more of your weakness?
My weakness is anything fattening. I mean.
Oh, okay.
But, I mean, at work I handle a lot of office catering, so there's always junk food around. There's always sandwiches. There's always cookies. And people look at me and go, you're only going to eat the strawberry off that? And I'm like, yeah. And they ask how I can do that. I said, well, they're not going to stop making, you know, they're not going to stop making chocolate in the next week. I can have chocolate later.
Right.
And if you tell yourself that, then you're not deprived. You've chosen not to do it. And you ask yourself, what's more important to me, having a piece of chocolate now or achieving what I wanted to achieve? And you make your choice based on that. And if you're not hungry, it's a lot easier to walk by something that's bad.
That's true. That's why I guess, like, when you go shopping, you should shop after you've eaten.
You know, or bring your snack with you. Bring your apple with you and eat that while you're shopping. So you are eating something. And it's not a temptation to pick on things that people are passing out as samples.
Right. Now, what about, did you find any, like, and I'm not sure if I'm just going to throw you some of the things that I thought were a bit of a tummy problem. The things that contain, I guess, sorbitol or maltitol or whatever.
Which things are those?
They're, well, I guess, most of the sweet items. In other words, it's not a sugar substance. It's like they call it a sugar alcohol.
I actually never had that problem. In the morning, I like the granola and the cereals.
Mm-hmm.
And I usually have those with a low-fat yogurt and some organic blueberries.
Okay.
And I don't think that the granola has sorbitol in it, but...
Have you been eating, like, the bars?
I actually don't like meal replacement bars, because for me, a bar is what you have after your meal. It's like dessert.
Yeah.
When I look at a bar, I think candy bar. It's what you eat after your sandwich.
Yeah.
And when I eat a bar, just, you know, mentally, it doesn't feel like a meal to me. I would much rather have, you know, like a beef and pasta with beef, or the chicken with noodles, you know, or the minestrone, or the cheesy home style potatoes. I mean, I would much rather have something that is a food.
Yeah.
You know, and I add a protein to that, which is, for me, a hard-boiled egg because it's so transportable. I could bring everything to work in little containers, and I'm done. You know, it takes me 20 minutes at night to make my dinner, make my breakfast for the next day, and my lunch, and put a snack in the bag. And 20 minutes, I mean, and I'm done with three meals.
Right.
You know, and... Anyone, I mean, I live in Manhattan, so, I mean, I'm constantly running around and doing stuff. I get home late. I'm tired. I don't want to start, you know, messing around with things. Not if I don't have to. And 20 minutes is all it takes to get your entire day set up for tomorrow and get your dinner going.
What about, I'm not going to say it's a problem, but kind of like, adding an ounce of chicken, and I'm going, an ounce? What exactly, how big of a piece of chicken is an ounce?
I think an ounce is about the size of your index finger. And what are you, and the ounce is your protein with your snack?
Yes.
What I do is I have another hard-boiled egg, because to me an egg is an actual serving of something.
Yeah, That's what I was looking at. A hard-boiled egg is easy. I looked at that, too. I said, oh, okay, I don't have to think of, if I'm going to have eggs, I might as well have a hard-boiled egg. It takes care of protein, and it takes care if I want a protein with breakfast, or, you know, that kind of a thing.
Yeah,
because
I mean,
it's much more measurable.
I've been eating two hard-boiled eggs a day for a long time, and because of the amount of vegetables and fiber and all the other things that I eat, that, you know, are healthy, I don't have a problem with cholesterol. I mean, if you have a cholesterol problem, of course, pick something else. But, you know, you could always have egg whites.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and those don't have cholesterol, and they still have all the protein.
Right.
But what I did was I looked at the serving sizes of things, and I decided what was an acceptable serving of something I liked. And that was how I chose what my additional items were going to be.
So, okay. So with your, see, with the thing is with the way I'm doing it, I work from home. So I'm basically in the house most of the day. And so, which is different. I don't have to, like, I'm not taking my food someplace. I don't have to be concerned about that. So your whole thing, but your whole lifestyle of weight loss was based on bringing it someplace, correct?
Bringing it someplace and being able to eat it at home. I mean, I'm home on the weekends. I'm home at night.
Right, yeah.
You know, and on the weekends, if I go out shopping or do something, I make sure I have my next meal with me, always. If I leave the house, I make sure I have the next thing I'm allowed to eat or the next two things I'm allowed to eat with me so that I don't get hungry and walk into a McDonald's.
Ah.
I mean, if you get hungry, you're going to go find something to eat, and chances are it's not going to be a good thing. You know, also I found that you go into places and you say, is this a low-fat muffin? And the guy will look at you and say, yes, regardless of whether it is or it isn't. He wants you to buy the muffin.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
You know, so can you believe them if it's not packaged and with the information on it? Probably not.
Yeah.
You know, so you could screw yourself up without even trying to.
I find with me, it's not the hunger. I mean, I can be, if I get busy, I will actually go, like, in the middle of the day, at some point I'll go, oh, wait a minute, did I eat today? Did I eat yet? And because what happens is mostly it's about taste. And it's about, and then, or I'm eating because I'm bored, or, blah, blah, you know, an excuse, as opposed to, I'm hungry.
I actually eat simply because I want to put something in my mouth.
Oh, okay.
I mean, there have been times I'm no saint where I've gone off my plan and had something I wasn't supposed to, you know, but I've eaten stuff that, you know, just, it wasn't because I was hungry, it was just because I wanted it. You know, and
right.
Like if you're sitting in front of the TV with a bag of chips, you're going to eat a whole bag of chips, whether you're hungry or not. It's kind of you get into the motion, hand to mouth kind of thing, and
yeah,
you just keep going.
Yeah.
It's like with peanuts. I mean, who eats four peanuts at a clip?
Right. Yeah.
You know, I mean, who sits down and says, well, this is a serving of around this many calories, I'm going to have four halves. You know, that's not what you normally do. You get a big bag and you eat a handful. So if you're putting them in something else, then it makes sense to use a smaller serving. If you're just eating four pecan halves, then it kind of feels silly. If you find a way to incorporate them with your vegetable and put
right.
pecans on top, then you feel like you've seasoned something else.
Yeah.
You know, and it makes it a lot more doable. You know, it's a creativity thing. It really is. I mean, the more creative you can be. I mean, I love sweets, and you know, vanilla yogurt and blueberries in the morning satisfies my sugar craving. As opposed to, you know, you were saying you like the egg in the morning. You like the protein and, what is it, a protein and a fruit serving for you?
I think that's what it said. It says on the, I'm going with the planner. And the planner is saying, a protein or fruit, a Nutrisystem whatever meal, and,
a protein and a fruit and the Nutrisystem meal, right?
Right.
So, I mean, that can be anything. You could make yourself an egg white omelet and, you know, and make yourself strawberries or whatever. If you don't have the protein, it becomes a dairy and a fruit, which is why I do the yogurt.
Right. A dairy or a protein. That's what it was.
Right. So
yeah.
you can choose what you want to put together, and it gives you a list of what they're considering a dairy, what they're considering a protein. And if you're concerned that your yogurt, it may be more calories than they want, you call up and you ask them. They have counselors available. I actually called one day and said, I screwed up and I ate a roll at the wrong time. How do I fix it for the day? And the guy actually said to me, he said, well, if you have the chicken breast in the evening and don't have the roll that goes with it, then you're still good for the day, but the idea is to have the food in the order they want you to have it in because it all works together. And I spoke to a dietitian at Nutrisystem who explained to me why you're having a protein with your fruit in the afternoon as a snack. It's because if you have a small piece of protein after you've had a sugar, which is what your fruit is, your body burns through the calories of the fruit a lot faster.
Oh, I didn't know that.
So you use it up quicker, and you're not storing anything. And I think that, you know, if people start doing stuff out of order or deciding they're going to have breakfast for lunch and lunch for breakfast, then they're doing themselves a disservice because they designed the program to work a certain way metabolically. They want you to always be eating every 4 to 5 hours. And in the afternoon, it's about two and a half hours after lunch, they want you to have your snack. Then two and a half hours after that, they want you to start your dinner.
Wow.
You know, and they want you to do that so your metabolic rate stays up high all day long. And, you know, I said to them, what about eating really late? Because I get home late and I won't be eating dinner until 10. And they said, eat your dinner. I don't care what time it is. Eat the whole thing. Eat your dinner. Eat what you're supposed to. And then have your dessert before you go to bed. I was like, you want me to eat before bed? And they said, yes, because when you're sleeping, you'll still be metabolizing what you ate before bed, which is 120 to 160 calories of a high-fiber thing that they've given you as a dessert. You know, so it's what keeps your body burning the whole day. And I think that, you know, that's why you can have, you know, depending on what your plan is, anywhere from 1,100 to 1,400 calories per day and still be losing weight. There are women I know that are eating, you know, horribly and only having 500 calories a day and think they're dieting and they're starving. I don't know if I could do that.
I certainly can't.
I mean, you know, all it would take is, you know, inhaling one whiff of tempura pizza and that'd be over.
Yeah, right. One of the things I'm finding, and this is not a, I guess it's a sort of a positive and negative at the same time, I tend to eat more of a portion because it tastes so good.
You know, there
are times. But what I'm finding with the Nutrisystem food, I'm not going to say it's like gourmet food. I'm not finding that anything is distasteful so far.
I agree with you. There's very little that I would say ick. You know, basically, it's good, solid, flavorful food. But no, I wouldn't call it five-star cuisine.
Right. So it doesn't make me feel like I need another portion. Because in other words, it doesn't taste so good that I want more of that.
Of that, huh?
Yeah. That's,
well,
yeah,
it's not.
Which is good for me.
Well, it's not. It's not like, well, I'll just go to KFC and get another piece of fried chicken, you know. But it's not like that. It's like, here's my serving. I'm satisfied, and now I can move on to the next thing I'm supposed to eat in a couple hours.
Well, here's one of the things I did. I was I had the risotto with mushrooms.
Oh, I like that.
And it said, okay, and I have to, and it says to add a protein. So, and then I'm supposed to have vegetables, too. So I said, oh, here's a great idea. So what I did is I cooked up, and I'm portioning this, I cooked up a piece of chicken breast.
Uh-huh.
And I took a small portion of it. But I cooked the chicken breast in like a V8 vegetable juice.
Okay.
So here's my veggies. And I cooked, and I, instead of cooking it the meal the way it is supposed to be, like in the water or whatever, I took it out and I added that to it. So now I had this great meal.
You had this huge plate.
Well, what I had, it's not as much as I had a huge plate, because what happened, because I'm doing the radio show and I'm not going to end until 9 o'clock, I had like half of the portion.
What'd you do with the rest of it?
It's in the refrigerator.
Are you going to finish it?
Oh, yeah.
All right, then you're good for the night.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, there's nothing
the
that says you have to eat it all at the same time. You just have to have it as your last meal of the day.
Oh, I don't go to sleep until 4 o'clock in the morning because of this stupid television program that's on.
Well, I'm a night owl, too, but I got to get up at 6, so I don't
go
to bed at 4. I don't go to bed at 4 if I can avoid that.
Oh, okay.
But, yeah, I'm usually still awake at around 1 a.m., and that's why, you know, when I get home, I eat late.
Yeah.
You know, my night goes on for quite some time, and, you know, I would get extremely hungry if I was, you know, if I was to eat at, like, 5 o'clock and then have nothing left to eat, you know, in my arsenal until 1 in the morning, I'd go insane.
Right. Well, actually, this is gonna the thing that'll be interesting is the first thing that's gonna come up is next week I have an event to attend to, and I know there's gonna be food out, and that'll be the and I'll just like I'm gonna choose either to eat before I go, or if there's anything that's out there that I'm allowed to eat, so most likely I'll just wait till I get home or something. Cause
wait,
is
your event at night or during the day?
At night.
Okay. What you can do is take a look in your planner and look at the eating out guide.
Yeah.
and see, you know, like if it's a Tex-Mex thing, a fajita is a perfectly acceptable dinner. You know.
Oh, no, this is going to be, I know what they do. It's with this kind of event, it's like they try to put out all this kind of gourmet food.
Oh.
That's why I'm going to wait till that's why I'm going to eat dinner before I get there. And if I have something to eat there, if they have some salad stuff or whatever.
Well, if they have things like a glazed salmon, you can have that.
Right.
You know, there are a lot of things you can eat. If they have, you know, any kind of anything that's glazed.
Yeah.
As opposed to a creamy sauce, you could have those.
Okay.
You know, and stick with your protein serving. Stick with, you know, a low GI carb, which is something with, you know, fiber or multigrain. Usually there's something that's a grain bread.
Uh-huh.
You know, you're going to need a fat. You could actually have a table, what is it? I think it's a teaspoon of olive oil.
Right.
You know, so you could actually have a little bit of salad dressing, even if it's regular. I mean, you could put together a meal that is perfectly acceptable on your plan. I mean, the Nutrisystem has a weekends off plan, and they give people a program where they get to create their own meals out of this many proteins, this many carbs, this many, you know, and they put together their own meals when they're not having the Nutrisystem food. And that's what I did when I was on the cruise. I put together my own meals with ship food. And they had gourmet food on the ship. I loved going to the seafood bar because you can have more shellfish than any other protein. It's the lowest in calories. It's the highest in protein, and I like it. You know, but if you don't like seafood, go for chicken. Go for a piece of steak. I mean, you could still have those things. You
okay.
know, you just can't have like a half pound ribeye.
Right. Well, I'm gonna be in touch with you. Because I'm reporting on this every week, and I'm going to get in touch with you, and we can schmooze.
That would be fun. We'll go out for a coffee.
Okay.
I still drink a huge amount of coffee.
All right.
I have even found water with fiber in it.
Oh, right. Well, I appreciate that you're calling in, and, you know, we'll continue on with this, I definitely need some support, that's for sure.
If you need anyone to talk to, if you're feeling shaky and reaching for chocolate, you just give me a call.
Okay, you got it.
You know, remember, chocolate will still be there when you're done.
Okay.
All right, it was a pleasure. And if you ever want to talk, you know, talk again, just let me know.
Okay.
All right.
Fabulous. Thanks so much, Lynn.
Take care and good luck.
All right, thanks. Have a good evening.
You too. Bye-bye.
Yes. Okay, well, or shall I say, here we go.
Are you ready for some football?
Yes. Are we ready for some football? That's the question. Well, let's see. Andrea, you on?
I'm here, Merle.
And Jack, are you on?
Yes, I am. How are you?
Okay. Well, we're going to really chat tonight.
We're ready.
First of all, to introduce, who's on here. Andrea Douglas, tell us who you are, Andrea, so I don't have to.
I own the New York Sharks women's pro football team. And I like to boast this. It's the winningest and longest operating women's tackle football team in America out of over 80-plus teams across the nation.
Yes. Well, I'm, of course, I favor them for a particular reason anyway. And just in case people didn't know or didn't listen to the Top Chef, the recent Top Chef show, our former player Josie was on there, and she mentioned playing for the New York Sharks professional football team.
I know. I got so many emails and phone calls today after her mention. It was really pretty cool.
Yeah. Oh, that's good.
Mm-hmm.
Did anybody ask you information about the team, or just saying that we were on?
Well, mostly it was people who know the Sharks and even know Josie, you know, when she played, or they know of her. So it was just people checking in and saying, hey, I heard the team mentioned by Josie on the Top Chef last night. You know, it was just kind of cool.
That's good. Yeah, because, see, they didn't get to talk about it when she originally was on.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, well. So, anyway, let's get back to this. The first thing that I want to get into with Andra is about, because it's coming up soon, is about the JPD program.
Right. That's a very exciting thing that's coming up in, 10 days now, February 7th and 8th at Giant Stadium. It's the third annual clinic for girls ages 13 to 17. And this is in cooperation with the New York Giants, obviously. But the New York Sharks produce this camp, and we are the coaches for this camp. And we are expecting over 100 girls from New York City and New Jersey to participate. It's open to anyone nationwide, but, you know, being right there, we usually get the girls that are local. But anyone who would like to attend may attend.
And it's free.
It
right?
is free. We also offer free busing from Bronx, Brooklyn, and Manhattan. So anyone out there who wants to come join, go to our website, nysharksfootball.com, download the forms, and get on the bus.
Oh, that's great. So, but then we had some people from Maine, was it?
Yeah, this is a nice story, actually. It was, I believe, last year or the year before,
Time goes by so quickly, I keep forgetting what year these things happen.
I know. Whether you're having fun or not, it goes by. But he came down with about six of his girls from Maine who were interested in forming a league. And the nice thing about it, we kind of spawned more JPD programs, because the next year he was able to do one up in Maine just for girls, and I think it was pretty successful. So I remember Jerry Horowitz, he's the nicest guy at the NFL who's helped us so much, and I remember he called and said, Andra, you guys are pioneers. There are other JPD clinics because of you guys. So, you know, this is what we want. Let it grow.
Oh, that's great. Mm-hmm. So, is it still open? I mean, can
one in Maine or ours?
Ours.
Oh yeah, it's not too late. It's not too late. Just like I said, go to the website, download the form. They're free. Feel free to call me 646-552-5790. We'll get you signed up and come on out and have fun. It's going to be great.
Good. Now, isn't it? There's also another program. I forgot what it was. Another clinic or something?
Another clinic?
Yeah.
For tackle football?
I don't know. Was it for tackle?
Well, we're doing. We're starting a junior league.
Oh yeah, that's the one.
That
yeah.
Yes. That is just in the beginning stages, and that's in partnership with USA Football, and the IWFL is trying to start a or not trying. We will start a junior league, which is going to be for girls, and this is hopefully going to take place across the nation in places where our IWFL teams are. So I'm not sure when that's going to kick off. We'd love for that to happen this year, but it may be 2010. But that's definitely in the works.
Oh, okay. Well, before we get to talking about the schedule for the Sharks, I want to go to Jack and tell us, first introduce yourself and tell us what USA Football actually is.
Okay. My name is Jack Reed. USA Football is the national governing body of youth and amateur football in the U.S. It was endowed by the NFL and the NFL Players Association in 2002. It's also the U.S. representative to the International Federation of American Football, which is called IFAF. Basically, USA Football provides resources and best practices to youth leagues across the nation. It's not exclusive to youth leagues. We're moving into a lot of high school and in college areas. And this summer in Canton, Ohio, will be the first ever IFAF Junior World Championship and the first time that USA Football ever puts together Team USA for high school age players. I work primarily with our international department trying to grow football around the world.
That's great. How did you get involved with the Sharks and the IWFL?
Well, I'm sure you know that the New York Sharks represented USA Football in Montreal this past summer at the IFAF Flag World Championships. Andrea did a great job of picking 12 women to play for Team USA. And through that process of dealing with Andrea and getting Team USA up to Canada, you know, we just started talking about different ways USA Football could help support women's football, and it's certainly an area that USA Football wanted to grow into. So, you know, from there we just started talking to Lori Frederick and Andra and Sam Rappaport at the NFL, and we were able to come up with an agreement and a partnership.
And what kind of agreement did you come up with?
Well, there's a lot to it. You know, essentially USA Football is going to support the IWFL and help grow women's and girls' football across the U.S.
Now, is this exclusive with the IWFL? Because I understand there are other leagues, too.
Yes, it's exclusive with the IWFL.
Oh, cool. I mean, like, what if the other leagues say, hey, I want to be a part of this?
What other leagues? Are you referring to the WFA?
Yeah, I guess that's the only... the other one went downhill, didn't it, Andrea?
Yes, other ones do not exist, but there are a couple more out there. I know the WFA is one. I believe there's another one. Jack, I don't know what the other one is.
Okay, but it's going to be exclusive just with the IWFL then.
Yeah, I mean, my understanding is that those leagues haven't played one down of football yet. You know, and USA Football is very comfortable with our relationship with the IWFL.
Right. Well, the IWFL is considered a pro football team. It's not an amateur team, which is great, because then I think, from what I understand, the IWFL is probably most organized, the most professional, and they, you know, it has like good interest at heart. Not that I, you know, that's something that I've seen, that I've experienced over the years. Of my hanging out with the Sharks.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely, and that's why we chose to partner with the IWFL, because they were, you know, professionally run organization. You know, they have owners like Andra in New York and other owners around the country, and you know, we really like the way that they ran and supported women's football in the U.S.
So now it's the IWFL only that's going to provide the athletes for the upcoming, like, Team USA?
Correct. There's plans for a competition, possibly in 2010, possibly in 2011. That should be finalized soon. A Women's World Championship. Currently, there's about 7 or 8 countries that play women's football. So the IWFL will provide the athletes for Team USA.
That's tackle, right, Jack?
That's tackle. And then also in 2010, there's a Flag World Championship. And the IWFL will provide the players for the flag national team.
So in other words, we're going to wind up doing something international that'll encompass tackle football.
That's the plan right now, yep.
Oh, that's great.
That's amazing, because I didn't even realize there were that many countries that participated in women's tackle football until recently. I'm surprised. I'm very, very pleasantly surprised.
The level varies from country to country. You know, there's about 5 countries in Europe. I know Austria and Germany have been playing for a long time. Sweden just played its first international game. Well, actually, that was the first international game ever between Sweden and Finland, but the first time that Sweden started a women's program. Finland plays, France plays, you know, Canada, U.S., I believe Mexico plays as well.
Wow.
That's great.
Isn't that great?
Yeah. Who won between Sweden and Finland, do you know?
Finland. I think it was 64-0. It wasn't a close.
Wow.
game.
Wow. Wow, that's cool. Now, and I'm curious. Now, with the partnering, Jack, is that any financial thing going to happen? Because I know, like, you know, this. Well, we all got financial troubles, but you know, I guess, and especially with securing fields for practicing or playing, you know, et cetera, et cetera. Is there anything that the USA Football can assist us in?
Financially, no. I mean, USA Football is a nonprofit organization. Although it's endowed by the NFL and the NFL Players Association, you know, it doesn't have a lot of funds to, you know, pay for field space, things like that. The way that we support our partners is with our resources. And part of our partnership with the IWFL is our online coaching and online officiating certification programs, which has been very successful at the youth level. The IWFL has agreed to mandate that all of their coaches and all of their officials become members of USA Football and pass the online courses.
What does the online course entail? I mean, you have to learn something, or you're adhering to something? What does that entail?
Well, it's really a state-of-the-art online program. It only takes about an hour and a half, 2 hours to go through the course, and there are quizzes after each chapter. You know, it teaches tackling techniques, you know, the fundamentals of the game. You know, it also gets into different drills that each position can go through. It's really, you know, it's been a resource for youth leagues across the country. You know, every week we have a new league in the U.S. It's mandating USA Football's online coaching and online officiating certification programs.
So I guess everybody's agreed to it because of this, correct?
Yeah, because I mean it's a great resource for youth leagues across the country, and you know we feel, I know the IWFL feels, that it could be a great resource for adult coaches who are, you know, currently coaching women's tackle football.
Yeah, I do agree strongly. I think it's a good mandate because, you know, it ensures safety to our players. It ensures a level of competency. This is just something we've needed, and I think it's a great thing to add to the IWFL and what we have to offer.
Well, Andrew, as you as a pioneer of women's football, which you are, how do you see this whole thing?
You mean women's football in general, or our partnership
with USA Football?
Oh, I am very excited about it. You know, I think this partnership is what women's football needs. You know, I think it's it really strengthens the IWFL because it lends its name. It helps us build the foundation. It legitimizes us. I mean, the IWFL is very legitimate. That's probably not the right word, but it just makes us a stronger organization and puts us into the spotlight that we deserve. I mean, we've been around for years and years. We have a very, very high level of football that is played, and I think USA Football is a great organization. I think the two of us together, it's very complimentary.
Do you think that having this partnership will enhance the IWFL in the stage of that? It may be like now we have this one particular professional league that now can take the stage on the TV. That might be, you know, that now we can be on television.
Yeah, I think it is. It's partnerships like that are going to create, you know, the final push to put us over the top. It's going to take something on a national level, whether it's a TV station that picks up the league, Game of the Week, ESPN, something that plays the championship. It's going to take something that's national to, you know, put us into the spotlight where we deserve. And I think the partnership with USA Football just makes it that much stronger. I'd like to see it grow and grow, and I know when we sat down with Jack, they were very open and very, you know, wonderful in agreeing to these terms. I think we're both on the same page. So Yes, I hope television is in our very near future.
Great. Yeah, I just quickly want to get to what's the Sharks. The what's the home games. What's the schedule? Do you know offhand?
You'd think, but I don't. Actually, I know our opening game is April 11th, and it's away. It's up in Albany. We play the Albany Nemesis. And our first home game is April 25th, and we play our arch rival, Boston. So that's going to be – Boston and the Sharks are in the same conference this year, and so it's going to be a real tough game.
Jack, have you ever seen us play?
Not tackle. I've seen the flag, but not tackle.
Oh, okay. Well, we'll have to come. We'll have to get you to a game, won't we?
I'm interested in that Boston game. I'm originally from Massachusetts, so that'd be a good game to go to. Although I've never rooted for a New York team against Boston, so I'm not sure how I feel about that.
Uh oh. Listen, once you sing karaoke with the Sharks, you can't root for Boston. Ever. Good deal, Jack.
Yes, those Sharks. Or is it those fucking Sharks?
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, that's how some people refer.
But, yeah, they're fun, that's for sure. You just never know what they're going to do.
No.
So, yeah, and how many teams are on the league this year?
I believe, including Tier 1, Tier 2, and the X teams, about 50 teams.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. I remember, the Sharks were one of the first teams to join in 2002, and there were, gosh, I don't remember, but maybe even a quarter that many teams.
Wow.
So we've grown exponentially, in
great.
All ways.
That's great. Now, if we could just find the money.
Well, that's always the problem.
Yeah.
No, it's unfortunately most female football players are self-sponsored, so it makes it tough, especially in this economy. Everybody's hurting. Everyone's going for the same dollar. Of, you know, any money that's out there in terms of sponsorships or grants, everyone's vying for the same dollar, whether it's, you know, the Pee Wee Leagues, the high schools, the colleges, everybody's going for it. So these are tough times, but I guess the difference with women's football, we're used to paying our own way. So we've been here this long. I don't think this economy is going to kill us off.
Well, hopefully we can We can talk to some more people to sponsor. That's what we need.
Yeah, and again, I have to bring up the partnership with USA Football. I mean, Jack and his organization have been so open and so willing to help further this sport, you know, for women. And
right.
I'm really hoping that this tying the two of us together and really pushing to make it a great professional league will help.
Well, you heard me talking about the Nutrisystem before, right?
A little bit. I missed most of it.
Yeah. I've already put it out to them, too, to see if we can get them as a sponsor.
Yeah, I think so. Although I don't want my front line on Nutrisystem, okay?
No, I think it would be, in terms of sponsoring, they could be talking about, I mean, sometimes we have players that, you know, that need to lose weight.
Well, you know, that's the way with everyone in life. You know, America overall is, I don't know. But, you know, we welcome every size, shape. I have a little running back. I have two running backs that are almost 4 feet. And just over 100 pounds, and they're both fantastic. And then, you know, we have the larger girls, and I'm telling you, all of them are welcome and loved on this team, and I think every team. So,
yeah,
bring them on.
Yeah. Well, what I'm saying in terms of of losing weight, something, I mean, like just for the health of themselves versus, you know, that it's, because I think we've seen that, that, you know, like, well, although I admit that some of our players have lost weight just because of playing.
Oh, yeah, you know, it's a great way to get in shape, and that's, we have a public outreach system where we go in and speak at places, and we've spoken at places that really, really, you know, our mission is to emphasize health. So it's not the size of the person, it's how healthy you are, and playing football, you know, it's lots of good exercise.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So, well, that's great. Is there anything, did I miss anything? Anything that either of you want to put out there?
Jack, you want to add anything? Or
I just know that, I just like to add that, you know, USA Football is very happy to partner with the IWFL. And, you know, I'm excited to see where our partnership will take women's football, you know, not necessarily next year, but 5, 10, 15 years from now. You know, it's definitely a long-term vision. And, you know, I commend the IWFL on their willingness to try to develop the sport at the youth level. You know, Andre and I have talked at length about, you know, creating feeder systems for the IWFL teams. And you know, I think the IWFL and USA Football are in agreement that the only way the sport will really take off and really grow is if they start growing it at the youth level as well.
Yeah, I agree. You know, once we get the J League in place, which I'm sure is coming, it will create a feeder system. So,
great.
It's a win-win to me. And I just, Jack, I want to thank you for how you.
Yes, I want to thank the both of you for coming on. And because the show looks like it's going to end in 2 minutes, so.
Uh-oh.
But we got to. Everybody go to nysharksfootball.com. You can get a lot of this information. We have a link for the USA Football, so you don't even have to memorize another one.
USAFootball.com.
That's easy enough, too.
There you go.
Okay, so thanks to both of you for coming on here, and we'll talk further on in the future.
Thanks a lot, Merle.
All right, take it easy. Have a good evening.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Oh, yes, and our show will end. I'm not sure yet. Say hello to everyone. Say goodbye to everyone.
I know you're the host of the show. I understand. I got it.
Oh, yes, and people, check out my book, Whirl with Merle. It's a humorous life on www.lulu.com, and also I'm on YouTube as well. Just Google Merle Exit and you'll find it all.